Greetings, fellow astronomers. This is Brianna Swainston, recording an astronomy podcast. Today is November 15, 2011. As the semester has progressed so far, I believe many of you will agree that one of the highlights of our class is going out every Thursday night and sacrificing the warmth of our homes to view the wonders of the night sky. As our illustrious teacher draws ancient pictures in the sky for us, and we become more and more adept at locating them here in Ephraim, and wherever our travels may take us. I think it is very easy for the constellations we can see to become something more than just dots in the sky. They are familiar, pleasant sightings, guides, and companions. We may affectionately refer to them as our good friends. Today I am going to regale you with legend and myth and interesting tidbits involving some of the constellations we have spent time diligently memorizing. Welcome to Storytime. Feel free to dim the lights, relax, sit back and close your eyes. We will begin with our royal couple who romantically sweep across the sky side by side each night. Our lopsided outhouse Cepheus and the brilliant W Cassiopeia are fictional rulers in Greek mythology of this country of Ethiopia. Cepheus, in order to earn his rank among the important personages whom the gods have immortalized in the sky, is said to have traveled with Jason on his famous voyage to find the Golden Fleece. In contrast, instead of performing heroic deeds, his wife is famous for her enormous ego. Claiming that she was more beautiful than the gods resulted in a great sea monster Cetus being set upon their country. The wrath of Poseidon, who felt insulted on the behalf of his beautiful creations, the sea nymphs, was great. To appease him, Cassiopeia and Cepheus were forced to sacrifice to the monster their daughter Andromeda, otherwise known to us as the banana-shaped Nike swoosh constellation next to Pegasus. Our poor fair virgin maiden was chained to a rock and left for the monster to devour. Perseus, a familiar demigod to any who enjoy popular young fiction, came promptly along and blackmailed our royal couple into giving him their daughter's hand in exchange for freeing her from the monster. Cetus met an unfortunate end, turning into a statue, by Perseus's recent trophy, Medusa's chopped-off head. To conclude the story, Cassiopeia, when put into the night sky by Poseidon, was placed there in such a way that her head points towards the pole in an effort to humiliate her. For half of every night, as the stars complete their familiar rotation, lowly mortals, crawling like ants on the surface of the earth, witness her hanging upside down as she travels. While most of us, with our Western education, are familiar with the aforementioned Medusa and her writhing scalp of serpents, we are not aware of the role she plays in the birth of Pegasus, the familiar flying horse, or the diamond who hangs on the tip of Andromeda's crowning star. Births in Greek and Roman mythology have the habit of being on the strange side. Daughters popping out of people's heads, etc. In this case, Pegasus spawns from the blood of Medusa as it dripped from her head while Perseus flew with it over the ocean. Greek and Roman heroes, like many ancient cultures, also have little sense of hygiene. How long does it take a severed head to start stinking, even if it can turn things into stone? The other two flying creatures that we have come across in the night sky this semester are more natural than a flying horse, though no less legendary. Aquila, the eagle, heart of the asterism we know as the summer triangle, is none other than Zeus's messenger. A crucial part in many heroic tales, Aquila is also the form that Zeus takes in order to avoid detection at the hands of his wife, Hera, while he is off doing mischief. It apparently works well, if you consider how many demigods are children of Zeus. Cygnus, swan, the marker of our Milky Way, who also nests the asterism of the Northern Cross, is, like Aquila, a bird of transformation. In mythology, Cygnus only becomes a swan in a bargain with Zeus. Recklessly racing too close to the sun, Cygnus and his competitor Phaeton fell from the sky. Cygnus survived, and Phaeton did not. To retrieve his companion's body from the depths of a large body of water, Cygnus traded his immortality for the body of a swan. His unselfishness earned him a spot in the heavens. Zeus's many dalliances with mortals are quite well known. They easily spot a Big Dipper as part of a constellation which depicts one of Zeus's unwilling but favorite mortal partners. Unable to escape Zeus's attentions or Hera's resulting jealousy, Callisto was transformed into a bear after bearing a son, Arcas. One day while hunting, Arcas came across his mother and unknowingly would have killed her. His hand was stayed by Zeus, his father, who proceeded to transform Arcas into a bear as well, and transport the both of them into the sky among the stars. These are our favorite and familiar Ursa Major and Ursa Minor. The last constellation in our tales tonight, which will forever reside in the minds of Snow College astronomy students as the Teapot, is Sagittarius, the Archer. While the stars within the Teapot we are acquainted with are among the brightest and most easily seen within the constellation, the stars included in the whole picture actually extend beyond this easy marker. Sagittarius is supposed to look like a centaur. Most of the teapot actually comprises just the archer's bow and arrow, pointing towards Scorpio's heart. It is regularly held that this centaur in the sky is Chiron, the greatest and chief of his kind. While other centaurs in mythology are supposed to be animal-like and cruel, Chiron is depicted as gentle, wise, learned, and talented. He was a healer, musician, and tutor. There are many different accounts as to what it was exactly that earned Chiron a place among the stars, but they all deal with his self-sacrifice and heroism. As we have learned in class, these constellations are all ones which can be viewed from our tiny town in the Northern Hemisphere at different times of the year. While physicists have altered the definition and boundaries of the constellations which people have used for thousands of years as markers in the sky, arranging them into 88 more precise quadrants, I think it is telling that they based these off the time-honored pictures instead of foregoing them for a simpler grid system. Astronomers and physicists are more than often poets at heart. What other condition is appropriate for a person who studies the stunning depths of this night sky for a living? The quadrants may seem cold and heartless compared to the imaginative pictures, but they at least allow the names and the stories to live on. We still learn the stars the way the Greeks did, as an illustrated, colorful storybook containing heroism, love, slayings of beasts, and extraordinary creatures. I will leave you with some of the more interesting figures counted among the official 88 constellations in the night sky for your amusement. A list of all these can easily be found on the IAU's, International Astronomical Union's, website, www.iau.org, as well as other places on the net. Among the night sky, and probably unbeknownst to most amateur astronomers and students, we can find Antlia, the air pump, Camelopardus, the giraffe, Chameleon, the chameleon, Dorado, the swordfish, Microscopium, the microscope, Musca, the fly, Pavo, the peacock, Telescopium, the telescope, Tucana, the toucan, Pupus, the stern, also known as the poop deck. Farewell and enjoy the rest of the night spent stargazing this semester.